Just testing the sound. Can everybody hear me even in the back? Great. So let's just take a moment and settle in together. Maybe it can always be like putting down a heavy bag of all the past moments that's gone before this moment. So putting down all the moments leading up to this moment and coming into this moment really fresh right here and right now. So perhaps just taking a little bit of time to settle into your body. Finding a comfortable posture. One of my own favorite reminders these days is I tell myself, come back and down. So I bring my awareness to the back of the body and I let the awareness come down into the body. And that can be a really good reminder to settle in. Releasing any unnecessary tension you might be holding. Again, not getting rid of anything, but just inviting whatever possibility of ease there is in this moment. And then as I start talking a little bit about this metta practice that we will be doing, getting a sense for yourself whether you want to stay with your eyes closed, or you're also welcome to open your eyes, but finding a way so that you can receive the words that I'm offering. And you can take in whatever parts are useful for you, and you can let the rest go. So what I really wanted to do before we start the actual practice of loving kindness today is to tie it into what Tara was talking about yesterday, especially about the hindrance of aversion. And as Tara was pointing to, metta can be an antidote to aversion. Tara was sharing how aversion can take many different forms, like from a really slight irritation to annoyance, criticism, judgments, to a lot of anger and even rage. And sometimes this aversion is turned outwards towards others in the forms of judgments, criticisms, anger towards others or towards things in the world. And as Tara was saying, a lot of the time the aversion might be turned inwards and so it shows up as self-judgment in our practice. I'm not good enough. I can't do this practice. I suck at metta. Whatever these self-critical thoughts might be telling us. And sometimes it shows up as fear, as a way that we cringe or contract around something we don't want to happen, something that we're afraid of might be happening. So this is also a form of aversion. So whereas aversion in all its different forms pushes away things, it says, I don't want this, this can't be like this. Metta, as we've talked about, has this welcoming energy to it. It welcomes in all inner experiences and it welcomes in all beings. It has this attitude of may everything belong. So that's why metta can be a great antidote to aversion, because it gives us a tool that when we discover that we're pushing away experience, metta has the opposite energy of inviting in experience, of having an actively welcome in to experience. And as Tara was also pointing to, often we need to go to the very, I call it the top layer of our tangle. Tara used the expression, the working with the arrows, the last arrow that's been shot. So often there's some experience we have, and then we have layers and layers of aversion around that experience. So one example is that we are judging our own judging, and then we're judging the judging and judging the judging, and then we just end up like really far away from where we started, with just all of these layers of judging. But the great thing is that whenever we become mindful, that's a place for us to start. That's a place where we can bring mindfulness into saying, okay, there's judging happening here, and we can invite this friendliness or this metta to meet the judgment. And at least in my own experience, it's a lot to ask of myself when I'm really in a tangle, when there's a lot of judgment, when there's a lot of aversion. It's really hard to invite myself to have a very warm and fuzzy kindness with it, because the issue is I'm feeling very averse and I can't find any warmth around it. But then it's really good to know that metta can actually show up as a more neutral kind of friendliness. So it doesn't always have to be this warm feeling. It can be felt as a sense of friendliness, a sense of, I may not be able to really soften this with warmth, but can I at least meet it with some level of friendliness? And what does this look like? You know, it might look like recognizing self-judgment, and then knowing what that feels like in the mind, what that feels like in the body, and then saying, okay, it's like this. This is what this self-judgment feels like. Can I just allow for this? Can I just be with this? Is there any way I can care for this? And sometimes that friendliness, there might even be a little bit of self-humor around it. At least that's been my experience, that's how that might show up. I also wanted to just say a few things about some of the responses around anger and harm in the world, harm that may have happened in our own lives, and what I would call relational boundaries, because this is something I've worked a lot with in my own practice, and I hear it from a lot of students and also clients that I'm working with in psychotherapy. So I think that anger can be part of our human conditioning. It can be a natural self-protective response. That might be good to know that, you know, when our boundaries are crossed, often there's a natural energy of anger that tells us, you know, to protect ourselves. In some ways, anger might give us a prompt to correct harm that's being done and to take care of our safety and make sure that harm is not done again. And then sometimes, at least that was true for me, there was a lot of confusion about metta. You know, I'm being asked to feel this metta energy and to cultivate metta for all beings. But what about the ways that harm has happened? What about the ways harm is happening? What do I do with that? How does that go along with metta? But really, cultivating this universal friendliness, this unconditional friendliness, doesn't mean that we don't take care of our personal boundaries, or it doesn't mean that we don't take care of harm in our personal lives or on a bigger scale. So from a conventional view, it can often seem like polarities. How do these two things go together? This unconditional friendliness towards all being and the fact that there's harm. Like, how does that, you know, how do we hold both and take care of both? And I think both Tara and Bonnie was pointing out this morning that the practice of metta really invites us to work with suffering states within our own hearts and minds, to release anger in our own hearts, to release fear in our own hearts. So in some ways, through the metta practice, we renounce contraction associated with long-held aversion. But again, it doesn't mean that we don't take care of our personal boundaries or that we don't work to take care of harm being done in the world. On the contrary, developing a peaceful heart that can hold all beings with friendliness, it doesn't make us passive. It doesn't make us indifferent. but the energy of wanting to offer something different to the world, to take care of harm being done, doesn't come from a contracted anger, it doesn't come from a contracted fear, but it comes from, as Bonnie was pointing to, this deep love for all beings and this deep wish that may all beings be safe, may all beings be well, may all beings know safety, may no being be left out of this. So again, our wish to make sure harm is not being done doesn't have aversion in it, it doesn't have contraction in it, it doesn't have fear in it, but it does have an urgency or a deep, deep wish for this world to be a place of safety for every being. I wanted to just share a personal story about this, just so maybe to make it come to life. So I'm someone that had some trauma in my childhood, and a relative, there was some harm that happened. And for the longest time, I held the story of the trauma in my mind. And it wasn't until I started deep practice that I got to see that the repetition of the story in my mind was a self-protective effort. So it's almost like if I can just remember the harm again and again and again, my whole nervous system would move into a high alert state. And that gave me a false sense that harm wouldn't happen again. If I could just stay in this high alert state and remember harm had happened, then I could make sure that harm wouldn't happen again. But what I got to see through my practice was that it was causing so much pain in my own heart and mind, because this constant repetition of a past trauma brought me into a past reliving of this trauma again and again and again. So it really wasn't very it wasn't very helpful for me. It wasn't very useful. So, and it wasn't until I was on so through all my practice, whenever I had the invitation, a thought I should practice metta for this particular, and what happened was that there was this particular harm that happened to me, and then it sort of globalized to be everybody that has done this thing, they could not be held with metta. So that was part of what happened. So it wasn't before I did a long 3-month metta retreat that I got enough courage to, and enough metta to actually meet this tangle in my mind. And I started practicing with this particular being. And there was a big release. There was a big release that happened. And there was friendliness that was able to meet the being, and there was a letting go of this long-held story inside. And then on the other side, what was really interesting, what was the most interesting thing about it, I thought, was that the clarity around how to take care of myself was much bigger once the story was released. So I had been scared that if I released the story, then harm might happen again. I need this anger to take care of the harm. And what I discovered is that when I released the anger, then there was total clarity in terms of what I needed to do. And it was very simple. It was like, there can be friendliness and you need to be at a distance. Right? So it was that simple. You know, I can care for you over there and we don't have to be in close relationship. So it's just to say that sometimes we think we need the aversion, we think we need the anger, but sometimes there can be more clarity when we release it. So what we wanted to offer today is to include more beings in our metta practice. And in the sort of classical Theravada teachings, there is a progression where we start with self, And then we move on to more easy, they're called easy beings, and move on to more and more difficult beings. And what's important to say is that the beings are not difficult, right? It's our relationship with the being that's difficult. So the idea is that we move again in a progressive way from easy to more and more difficult. And we can think about this as we're building a nice warm fire, a metta fire, starting with where it's easy. And then when there's warmth and the fire is going, then we can add more logs. And then we can know that we can always come back to building the fire again. If the fire starts coming down, we can always go back to self or to an easy being to build up that fire again. So today we're going to include an easy being. Often they can be called, traditionally they're called a benefactor. And this is often someone in our lives that has supported us, helped us, maybe a teacher, a grandparent, someone that has really believed in us, where we felt a natural sense of care from them. But in this category, I'm also suggesting with the easy being, it could be a benefactor, but it could also be a dear friend that you have, where there's an easy flow of warmth, where there's an easy flow of connection. And also to say it could be an animal, right? So for some of us, sometimes connecting with another human being, it's not where there's most ease. So if you have an animal that you feel connected with or where you feel a sense of safety, you can use the animal to bring metta to the animal as an easy being. And then from the easy being, we move to what we call a neutral being. So often that could be in the category of a neighbor or someone at a grocery shop. So someone we've seen on a regular basis, but where we don't have very strong feelings around them. So there's not a lot of disliking, and there's also not a lot of liking. But someone where we know their face, we know what they look like, but we don't have a strong feeling either way. And then we move to what's called a difficult being. And as I said, it's not them that's difficult, but it might be the relationship that's challenging. And just an invitation to, as we start this, to maybe not pick a difficult being that's the most difficult being in your life. So I would suggest picking someone that's on the light scale of difficult if you want to try this. That's often, again, a good way to build momentum with it. And again, if you find that it's challenging either with the neutral being or the difficult being, there's always the invitation to come back to offer metta for self or for the easy being. So again, with metta practice, having some sense of ease around it is really important. So we don't want to get into a ton of struggle with the metta practice. And also just an invitation, you know, all these tools that we're offering, they're just tools. They're really, I found them very useful tools. But it's for you to see, you know, what is working for you and what's helpful for you in your own practice. So if today feels like a day where you want to stay with self and you don't want to progress, I'm just going to invite you to do what feels supportive for you. So there was a question yesterday about the images and phrases, and just a brief note on it. So again, these are just tools. So the image of a being is a way that we actually keep that particular being in mind. So some people, it's easy to bring up an image. For other people, it might be more like a felt sense. So again, it's just a tool to stay connected to the being that you're working with. And if an image supports you in staying connected, you can use the image. And if it's more like a felt sense of the person, you can use that. And then the phrases are just ways that we keep the intention of the metta in mind. So again, you don't have to use the full phrases, or you can use parts of them if that supports you in the practice. So that was a lot of words. So let's let all the words just move on. let's let the words move on. And take some time to settle into your posture. And as I said yesterday, having a sense of ease in your sitting posture is really useful for this practice. So just a deep invitation for you to take the time to settle into your body, settle into your posture. Not being in a rush, but even as you do this, bring this attitude of care. How is this body right now? Is there any way that you could offer it care by, just before we settle in, moving a little bit, being with your breath a little bit? Wishing for this body right now, may there be some ease. May any unnecessary tension in this body be released. And perhaps even just beginning with just having a very receptive awareness of body and breath. Letting the breath have its own life through your body. Letting it find its own rhythm. And then in your own way, finding a way into connecting with this care, this loving kindness, this friendliness towards your own being. As I said yesterday, for some people it's helpful to start the metta practice with placing a hand on the heart. This embodied intention of bringing care, bringing friendliness to yourself in this moment. And if your hand is on your heart, just breathing here for a little bit. Breathing with this intention to cultivate metta for yourself. And if the support of bringing up an image of yourself as a child has been helpful for you as a way into feeling metta for yourself, perhaps seeing if you can connect with some image of yourself as a child. Or there might be some sense of yourself right now that you can access. And then if the phrases feel supportive for you, silently repeating inside of yourself, may I be safe. May I be peaceful and happy. May there be some health and well-being in this body and mind. May I live with ease in the world. May I take care of myself with ease. May I be safe. May I be peaceful and happy. May there be some health and well-being in my body. May I live in this world with ease. And now either staying here with continuing on with offering metta for yourself or exploring opening to an easy being. Bringing up an image or a felt sense of some being in your life where there's some sense of easy flow of care. Best if it's a being that's still alive. Knowing that there's almost always some complications in our relationship, but perhaps inviting someone in your mind where there's some level of ease, some level of flow. perhaps as you bring them to mind, getting a sense of the qualities that you appreciate about this being. Makes this being easy for you to feel friendly towards. And maybe there's a portrait or an image of the person that's clear, or perhaps just a felt sense of their presence, of being in their presence. And wishing for this being, may you be safe. May you be peaceful and happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease in this world. Again, reconnecting with the image or the felt sense of this being. And just opening to whatever is present for you. Bringing metta to whatever is here right now. May you be safe. Wishing you peace and happiness. Wishing you some health and well-being in your body and your mind. Wishing for you a life of ease, Now releasing this being, if it feels right for you, letting them be on their way. And bringing to mind a being where there's a more neutral relationship for you. Perhaps someone at the grocery shop, someone that's a neighbor, someone at work, some being where there's neither a lot of disliking or liking. And just waiting a little bit and see who might intuitively come to mind. And if it's available to you, perhaps seeing if there's an image of this person, just as a tool for you to remember them. Or maybe some felt sense. Perhaps for this being, if you know something about their life, just taking a moment and remembering that this being, like other beings, probably also has a wish for safety and happiness. So although you may not know this being very well, inviting yourself to connect with their wish for safety, their wish for well-being, their wish for ease, the shared aspiration that all of us share. Wishing, may you be safe. May you be peaceful and happy. May you experience some health and well-being in your body and in your mind. May you live with ease. And again, just noticing is it like in this heart mind to connect with a being where there's neither a lot of liking or disliking? Holding yourself with mindfulness, holding your own heart, your own response with mindfulness and with friendliness. Oh, it's like this. This is how this is right now. And now checking for yourself in these last minutes, if it feels most skillful to go back to metta for self, well, there is the possibility of, in a very brief and titrated way, of touching into offering metta for a being where there's some challenge for you. If it feels skillful to open the heart to a being where there's a challenge, inviting in someone where there's not too big a challenge. Perhaps seeing their face, having a felt sense. Just taking a few breaths here, noticing and being with whatever response is coming up for you, putting the oxygen mask on yourself first and foremost, offering care to whatever is happening within your own heart mind. Just staying here as a way of titrating. Maybe just having some connection with this being while you're offering metta for self. Or if it feels available for you and it's not too much of a stretch for the heart, offering, may you be safe. May you be peaceful and happy. May there be health and well-being in your body and in your mind. Wishing for you that you may have a life of ease in this world. Staying connected with your own heart, your own mind, your own body. being with whatever is showing up for you regarding opening this channel right now. And knowing that there's always the potential of coming back here, and trusting in this moment that we can practice now letting this being be on their way, releasing them from your heart and mind, releasing memories that might be associated with this being. Just coming back for a few moments, just breathing, being with yourself. Offering metta for just a few rounds for yourself. May I be safe. May I be peaceful and happy. May there be some level of health and well-being in my body. May there be ease in my mind, in my heart. Thank you for your practice.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.